podcast produced, edited, and created by the Gainesville Community Counseling Center. We are the Gainesville Community Counseling Center. We're located at 1001 Northeast 16th Avenue. We do mental health services and provide those services at affordable prices to anyone and everyone who walks through our doors. We are here today on our podcast in the brand new year. Nate, what year is it?
2023.
Is he right, Brandy?
I think so.
All right. We're here with Brandy and Nate, two of our fabulous therapists, and you'll get to know them a little bit more in just a minute. But a little bit more about us, you can find us online at www.gainesvillecounselingcenter.com. That is www.gainesvillecounselingcenter.com. Or you can call us at 352-448-9120, whichever you prefer. We're open from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 9 to 5 on Friday. We do individual, couples, family, and group sessions. So we have something for just about everyone who needs our services. Nate and Brandy are two of our newer therapists here, and they are joining me today on the podcast to talk about New Year's resolutions and why we make them, how we keep them, how we don't keep them. But we're also going to talk a little bit about mindfulness and why that's important for us. And we're going to talk about, on this podcast in particular, ways that we can walk into the new year as a new you, being the best you that you can be. But generally on this podcast, we present issues related to all sorts of topics on mental health. We talk about models of therapy. We talk a lot about sex because that's my favorite subject. We talk a lot about couples and relationships, depression, anxiety. We talk about all these different things, all as a way of trying to help you get information about us and ways in which we might be able to help you with your concerns. And occasionally, we do, what is the thing called where you put things up and I just respond?
Therapist reacts,
which are my favorite times of the podcast, but she doesn't let me do those very often. So we are here today, and we're going to talk about specifically New Year's resolutions. But before we do that, Nate and Brandy, would you please introduce yourselves to the very large crowd who is listening to this podcast?
No pressure.
Nate, right. This is the only time I have ever seen you quiet. Normally, you won't shut the hell up.
Right. Okay. So I'm Nate. I am one of the newer therapists here at the Gainesville Community Counseling Center. I use he, him, or they, them pronouns. Some of the issues I really love to work with are LGBTQ issues, borderline personality disorder, and depression and anxiety.
Anything else?
I think that's it.
Good. And while Nate's here, we generally give Nate assistance on his Grindr profile to help him out as best we can. I won't tell you what his profile is like right now, but it's, you know, let's just say it's a blank slate. Right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay. Brandy, introduce yourself.
My name is Brandy. I'm also kind of new here. Been here since about June. And I work with issues surrounding neurodivergence, mainly ADHD and autism, LGBTQ plus identities, as well as families. And I forgot what else I'm supposed to say.
That's it.
That's it. Cool.
Where are you from? You're from down south, aren't you?
I'm from Wellington, Florida. So like West Palm Beach-ish area.
I don't know where that is either. I don't go down south very often.
It's down south.
I don't go out of Gainesville very often, so I'm not allowed out. Sometimes I get to go to Tampa. Sometimes I get to go to Orlando. I've been to Miami, but that's about it. I'm not allowed out of this region for some reason. So, okay. Well, you can find their profiles to learn more about them on our website, not the Grindr, although you can go there too. And our website again is www.gainesvillecounselingcenter.com, and up on the top you'll see the team, and you hit that link and a drop down menu will appear, and you'll get their lovely pictures and their lovely profiles. So And you can even schedule by visiting their website. You can schedule directly with them in any spot that's available. So today's topic is New Year's resolutions. Raise your hand if you made New Year's resolutions this year. Really? Nobody made resolutions?
I thought about it.
Why didn't you?
I just procrastinated it.
Oh.
Yeah. That's where I'm at for the new year. What about you?
I tend to take a little bit of a different approach to goal setting that is less restrictive on when I set my new goal. So I just accomplished a big goal of mine, and so I'm working on setting some new goals for myself, but didn't put the pressure to have them set January 1st.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. I'll be nice to Nate today. Nate said I was mean to him last time.
No, not mean. We talked about some great stuff last time.
We did. I enjoyed it. I don't know if you enjoyed it. You got kind of red in the face last
that's
time.
That's normal. That's normal.
Do you get embarrassed easily?
That's the menopause. The testosterone.
Yeah. But do you get embarrassed easily?
Yes.
I know. Easily. And I enjoy embarrassing you. You know my wife yells at me because I embarrass you?
Really?
Yep.
No.
She does.
I know that it's how you show your love. So I'm like...
Well, it's also how I say I don't like you, but you never know the difference.
Right, so I just take it as love. It's a positive reframe.
You do you, boo. From this morning's...
From this morning's training.
Today is our first day back in the office, and we did training episodes this morning, and so we had lovely role plays about HIPAA and ethical issues. It was exciting stuff. And they were wonderful actors who will never make money acting, that's for sure.
But that's for sure.
And then we watched a video, and then we went to do a team-building activity, didn't we?
It was a good one.
It was.
Good one.
Yes. We went to an escape room and had a lovely time in the second most difficult room in their business. Isn't that what the guy said?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And we completed it with 3 minutes left. Although I carried that key around the whole time looking for another lock that I thought we
that
were...
That you had already used.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember the tube, but I don't remember using the lock. I thought somebody else gave me the lock, so... Anyway, but we won.
That's what counts.
That's what counts. So you can look at our picture online on our Facebook, because the picture's already up of us winning the escape room. And I must say, I was the leader, wasn't I? I was.
Yes.
I couldn't read a damn thing in that room. It was so dark, really, and everything was so small.
It was rough.
It was rough. Anyway, okay. So before we get into New Year's resolutions, let's talk a little bit about mindfulness. Brandy is going to talk to us about a mindfulness tip, trick, thing that you do for mindfulness and why it's important. And go.
God, no pressure at all. Okay. So I think something that I work with a lot, particularly with my neurodivergent clients with mindfulness, is particularly with breathing exercises. I think a lot of the time when they focus on counting, it can become really stressful, and it can feel like you're either doing it right or wrong. So something else I like to do that kind of helps get them in their body is to, instead of counting the breaths, to put their palm in front of their face like this, and then as they inhale and exhale, feel the sound of the breath for one, so listening to what that exhale feels like, and then also the feeling of the breath on the palm,
mm-hmm.
to kind of bring you back into your body and notice what it feels like. And sometimes that can be helpful for some people who have trouble with the counting exercises. Or I know a lot of clients are like, if you tell me to count and breathe one more time, I'm going to leave. So offering them alternatives can be kind of helpful.
It's kind of like wearing a mask, right? You put the mask on. Anyway.
That's true.
I never realized how badly my breath stinks. I pop in a pill. I went to the dentist. I'm fine now.
But now.
Now. Sorry for before. Anyway, so you have them kind of focus on the sound and the feel of it. And why is it important for them to be in their body? What's the purpose of that?
I think a lot of the time we are so rushed and focused on getting things done in our external environment that we're not really focusing on how we feel.
Mm-hmm.
And the question, how do you feel, is kind of a loaded question, right? So kind of breaking it down into like, where's my breathing at? What does my body feel like? Am I hungry? What's my energy? And kind of breaking down each category of what you might feel like can be helpful mm-hmm. for some people who, when you say, how are you, they might not really know where to start.
How are you?
I'm great.
Are you? Do you know you're great?
I know I'm great.
Okay. Well, all right. So don't focus on the counting, but focus on the actual feeling of the breath, the sounds of the breath as an alternative, right?
Right.
And that kind of makes sense, right? Because if we focus on the doing it perfectly by the numbers, then we miss the whole purpose of being mindful and just chilling and relaxing. Okay. So we're going to move now into the topic of the hour, which is New Year's resolutions. And you two have already confessed that you have failed miserably at making New Year's resolutions. Have you ever made them?
Oh, definitely. I think I found that in previous years, I didn't really break down my goals well. And so they just became this huge unattainable thing, and I didn't really know where to start. So mm-hmm. this year, I think I wanted to take a little bit more time to kind of process how to make those goals happen. And because of that, I didn't really need a deadline.
Was there a deadline?
Yeah, by the end of the year. I mean, technically, right?
Oh. Ooh. Okay. Did you used to make resolutions?
Yeah, I've had successful and unsuccessful New Year's resolutions.
I didn't ask you about successful and unsuccessful. I just asked you if you made them.
Yeah.
My God, just focus on the question. Yes, you did.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So it's pop quiz time for the two of you. Because I studied up on the history of New Year's resolutions. So if you can get the answers correct, you get a prize. So here's the question. You can collaborate if you want. You can cheat. It's not an open book test. But you can talk amongst yourselves into the mic so people can hear you struggling to come up with the answers. So what is the first group of people that we have record of using New Year's resolutions?
That's a tough one.
Do, 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 do.
Did you say, like, what kinds of people or where they're from?
Well, they're from, yeah, you could say where they're from. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The very first record of New Year's resolutions.
What if it's something, like, really old and ancient?
And do not look at me for that.
What time period are we thinking?
I'm thinking it's earlier than we're thinking.
What, like,
she doesn't
Egypt?
Know what you're thinking.
Ancient Egypt, ancient.
Yes, somewhere in
somewhere
there.
Old.
We're old. Do you want the answer?
Yes, we
please.
Want the answer.
Babylonians over 4,000 years ago.
Yeah, we never would have got that.
Yep.
Well, I knew it was old.
And, second question, in what month did they actually begin the new year?
What month?
What month? Did I stutter? I mean, come on, Nate. You're supposed to be a good listener. That's what I pay you for, right? To listen?
Yeah.
Okay. In what month? What? There's only
12. There's only 12 choices. So what are we thinking?
June.
Fair.
Wrong.
Pride month.
One track mind. March. Mm. When the crops were planted, that was the new year. And what was the purpose of their New Year's resolutions? It had a purpose.
Unrelated to the crops or related to the planting of the crops?
I'm not going to give you the answer. Related. You figure it out. You're smarticles.
With history?
Oh, he didn't do. Oh, he did a lot, didn't he? Every time we turn around, Nate's over there pressing something, doing something. I'm like, Nate, just fucking focus.
I was focused. You were not listening.
Anyway, back to the topic. What was the purpose of their New Year's resolution?
To wish for a good crop growth.
You get that one. It was making sacrifices to the gods because they had multiple gods, and it was also about making amends for any wrongdoings that they had done.
Mm.
So, all right, next question. You know, y'all not doing very well. Just saying. You got one out of three. That's a 33.
Yes.
I don't math. That's 33%, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. Look at me. Woo-hoo. Anyway, so when did, or who, that's just who changed the calendar to reflect a January start?
Part of me wanted to say the Mayans, but I have no idea if that's based in fact or not.
It would not be the Mayans.
Okay. I don't know what part of me thought that was right.
What empire? It was a big empire. Big
Roman.
Empire. Yes.
Ah.
The Romans. Because
it's the Roman calendar.
It is the Roman calendar. That is correct.
Damn.
And then they changed it to January. And here's a tidbit. January is representative of a god who is two-faced. Janus. I don't. It's a J with an anus on it. I don't know what that means.
The Geminis.
What?
You said two-faced.
But Geminis are born in like May.
And June.
What does that have to do with January?
That's why I'm confused.
You said two-faced, and then you said something that sounded like Gemini.
I need you to focus. My God. I'm going to have to sit on your sessions, because you're like, you're a squirrel. Focus.
Wow.
I know. I'm bad. Anyway, so then the New Year's resolutions were attributed to doing things to appease the gods, because they had multiple gods as well. And then somewhere along the line, it stepped away from a religious transition, a religious focus, and turned into just total debauchery. And that's what it represents for people today. I don't know. So, but I win. Y'all don't. There you go. A little bit of history on New Year's and resolutions. So, but it did. It had its start in religious context, and then has transitioned away from it, much like the rest of the world. So, Brandy and Nate are here to talk about New Year's resolutions. How do you feel about New Year's resolutions? Do you like them? Do you love them? Do you hate them? Can you just don't give a crap about them?
I think the traditional way that they're done and the main topics that are usually addressed in the New Year's resolutions are often problematic for me. I feel like people set really, really big, unattainable goals, often in scientifically unhealthy ways.
What do you mean?
Things like, I'm going to lose 300 pounds in a year. And then doing it in these ways that are proven to be less healthy than not losing the weight at all.
Okay.
Things like that.
Okay. What about you, Brandy? What do you think about New Year's resolutions?
I was just thinking about what you said, so now I kind of lost what I was going to say.
Squirrel!
Pretty much. I think that, like you said, there is a way to go about doing New Year's resolutions or just setting goals in general, but the way in which it typically is done kind of sets you up for feeling shameful at the end. Mm-hmm. Shame is not a good motivator.
Could be, depending. Guilt, shame.
Guilt and shame are different to me. Guilt is like feeling bad about something you did, like a choice you made, and shame is like feeling bad about who you are. I don't know if that's the real definition, but
it'll work. Okay.
I like that.
All right. Thank you. So what do you think are some of the top topics related to New Year's resolutions?
I think weight loss and exercise has to be number one.
Oh, yeah.
Exercise, 52% of all New Year's resolutions are related to exercise. Weight loss, 40%. Yeah. What else? Anything?
Nutrition, maybe? Or does that tie into weight loss?
Nope. Mm-hmm. Eating healthier, 50%.
Yeah, so I would say those would definitely be the top three I would think of.
Well, good. And they are the top three.
Maybe.
Yeah, two more.
Oh.
Being more productive in general.
More motivated.
People end up being very vague with their goals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think motivation, productivity would be up there.
Save more money.
Ah.
And spend more time with family / friends. That assumes that you have any or that you like them.
Or that you want to.
Right. Mm. So, all right. So those are the goals. That's and that was a scientific study done by nobody. I don't know how they came up with those figures, but anyway, it was an article I saw on the internet and therefore it must be true.
Oh, for sure.
Right. Okay. So people set these unrealistic goals. And then they feel like they can't attain the goals.
Mm-hmm.
So what stops people from attaining the goals that they set out? Why do they set the goals in the first place? Where does that come from? I mean, besides the history that I just taught you about it. Why do people set these goals or feel the need to set these goals annually?
I think especially with weight loss and like eating healthier and exercising more, people feel like they're going to be a lot of the time maybe worth something more. Mm-hmm. Like it's coming from a place of I don't like who I am now.
Mm-hmm.
So if I do these things, I'll feel better or X, Y, and Z will happen.
Right.
I don't think always, but I think a lot of the time, especially like with fat phobia being something that's so prevalent, that is a motivating factor for a lot of people. And I think that kind of sets you up to feel disappointed whether or not you actually attain that goal.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on what you want to get out of it. And I think people a lot of the time aren't clear on what they hope that goal will do for them.
Okay. Any thoughts?
Mm-hmm. I agree with all of that. And I think that it ties back to the shame too. You said, I think, disappointed this time or something like that. But people set these huge goals or very vague goals and then can't go from 0 to 100 in the first 5 days of January.
Mm-hmm.
They blow up and give up, and instead of maybe eating the way they had imagined that was like a clean eating, 100% perfect, they go 100% in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
And are actually making things worse in their eyes and in society's eyes instead of maybe saying, okay, I'm going to take one step forward every day.
Right.
Towards eating maybe more balanced.
Right. It tends to devolve into this all or nothing. I'm going to do it perfectly or I'm not going to do it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so going to the gym is one of those things where people will say, I'm going to start exercising every day. Well, why in the hell would you do that in the first place? But it's not healthy for you, right? And so how do you... If somebody came into your office and said, I have this New Year's resolution that I'm going to do this, and how would you help them process that New Year's resolution? If they came and said, I'm going to exercise every single day, what would you do with that?
If I've built a relationship up with somebody already, I'll probably be very direct and say, how attainable is that for you? And I'll say, well, you know, maybe the first week I'll struggle, but then it'll be my routine. And I'm like, okay, is that real? I'll be very straightforward. Mm-hmm. Is that real for you? Mm-hmm. Are you really going to do that? They're like, no. But like, if I say I'm going to do it and I do 5 days out of 7, then I'm going to feel okay. And I'm like, okay, is that real? I'm kind of repetitive sometimes in this, like just saying, are you really able to do that? And then they'll kind of reset their goal towards maybe, okay, for a month, I'm going to go on a walk 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to get a gym membership and go to the gym 3 times a week. And then, you know, like building off of their goals.
Right.
Instead of just saying, I'm going to go from watching 6 hours of TV every night to
marathon.
Right. To a marathon in a month.
Well, they have that stupid, I don't know if it's stupid or not. I shouldn't judge it like that. They have that from couch potato to 5K or whatever program that people do. Well, I'm telling you right now, it's not, I can't do that. It's unrealistic.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go from being a couch potato to running a 5K in a short period of time like this program suggests.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you handle a client that came in and said, I'm going to do this every single day?
I think like similar to your asking them if it's realistic, asking the client, like, what do you foresee getting in your way? So mm-hmm. What do you think might make it hard for you to do this? If you don't want to go to the gym one day, or if you don't have a car or reliable transportation, how else can you exercise? Do you need to be at the gym to do that? Is that what's important to you, or is it more just exercising in general?
Mm-hmm. Right. So you kind of help them think about it differently. I'm always intrigued, like these top three, right? I want to exercise more. I want to lose weight, and I want to eat healthier. I mean, those are just year after year after year. Those are kind of like the top three. Right. Money's up there and family and friends is up there also. But how do those become so important in our culture and in our society that we're focused on the way that we look, the way that we eat, and the way that people perceive us? Where does that come from?
Brandy said a term earlier, fat phobia. I think it all comes back to that. You know, whether you're in a larger body, whether you're in a smaller body, that fear of gaining more weight is kind of ingrained in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
We're told, like, you know, yes, there are different shapes and sizes, but you need to do your best to be as small as you can possibly be.
Well, media does a pretty good job of kind of putting that out there, that this is the perfect body that mm-hmm. you should have. This is the perfect shape that you should be, size-wise, for men right. and women, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm not suggesting that eating healthier or losing weight aren't good things. I think part of our struggle as therapists is to help them understand the why, what's motivating it to be there. So mm-hmm. if somebody comes in and says, I want to lose 300 pounds in a year, okay, help me understand what's that about, right? And oftentimes, you know, we can incorporate within our work with them, you know, some behavioral modification techniques, some emotional regulation techniques mm-hmm. that will help them achieve a goal which is a more realistic, and help them develop a plan which is attainable and they can follow. My experience with people coming in with their New Year's resolutions is that they do have vague ideas of what they want to do, vague goals, like pie in the sky thing, and they don't take into account the steps they need to take to get there. And so when they fall off the wagon, so to speak, then they just don't get back on it. And then the negative byproduct of that is then they're beating themselves up for being what? For being a failure. Well, no, you're not a failure. You just didn't do it today, all right? So you got tomorrow. Now what do you do? Right? But the whole notion that, you know, New Year's resolutions is this thing that carries so much power and so much weight. I don't make New Year's resolutions and have it for years. I do what I want to do when I want to do it. And if I don't want to do it, I don't do it. Simple as that. So I think we get pressure from different parts of society. I think we get pressure from our physicians, who are probably well-intentioned, but some of them need some more education on bedside manner and motivational interviewing because they suck. We get it from sometimes our own family, our friends, And sometimes we get it just from society as a whole, by what we see on TV, what we see on the movies. So I think it comes from a number of places. So if we wanted to kind of develop some alternatives to New Year's resolutions, what might those be? How do we kind of reframe it for them positively, mm-hmm. so that we can step away from this all or nothing high pressure of New Year's resolutions and just incorporate a more mindful approach, mm-hmm. to change? How would you do that?
I'm thinking of two things. The one thing I'm thinking of is with behavioral activation, keeping it as easy as possible, mm-hmm. to build up that confidence that, oh, okay, I can follow through on something that I feel is important to me.
Mm-hmm. It's your telephone.
It's yours?
Lexi Green.
Our clients want us.
We're in hot demand.
Oh my gosh. Isn't that lovely? You're in the middle of a podcast and somebody's phone starts going off. Anyway, so you were saying... Mm-hmm.
Making the goal as easy as possible. And where was I going with that? Right. And so that builds the confidence for the client so that they can see that there is something that they're capable of doing. Like, mm-hmm. they're able to follow through on things. And I'm also thinking of getting really clear, I think kind of what you were saying earlier on the intention behind the goal, mm-hmm. or the resolution. So getting really clear on like what values embody this resolution, what's important to you, and does this choice and the actions you're going to take align with those. Mm-hmm. So what about losing weight is important to you? What value is there? And if it's coming from a place of like self-confidence, maybe exploring that more.
Right.
If it's coming from a place of health, maybe exploring that a little bit more with them too. And of course, like deferring to their doctor when you need to. But
sure.
I think weight loss comes from a lot of different, I guess, intentions. And I think a lot of the time educating them on weight loss versus health,
mm-hmm. Right. What do you think motivates the desire for more money? I want to make more money. I want
happiness.
Sometimes happiness, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Less stress.
Well, you think of, the economy today, and here in Gainesville, especially, what they charge for rent and the housing prices here is just effing crazy, and it's a closed market, and so there's, the pressure is there, and you have an apartment complex that hasn't done any upgrades in years, and they're going to up the rent just because the new apartment complex has a new rate. Doesn't make any sense, and I think it's all stupid, but there's a lot of pressure, right, with wages as they are, and trying to have enough income to cover your expenses. And then inflation that we have going on and all the other stuff going on. So for me, typically issues related to money are related in some way, shape, or form about a sense of fear of not being able to provide, not having enough food. I think of family members of mine who have they don't need to worry about money. They just don't. They have enough. They have more than enough. But their main focus in life and their worry in life is money. Am I going to have enough money in order to get myself through the rest of my life? Which is not a bad thing to talk about and consider, but the reality is, yeah, you got enough money. Mm-hmm. You got plenty of money. Right? It's just how you use that money sometimes. But for struggling parents, single moms, it's a very different concern. But it's still fear of not being able to provide for your kids and everything that goes along with that. Mm-hmm. So what are some other concerns that people might be able to address through these? I'm not going to call them resolutions, through goal setting, life goals. I like that term, life goals.
I think related to finances, but maybe less related to like making as much money as possible is more of like a budgeting goal. So I've worked on the basics of how to start a budget with clients and everything that comes with like setting how much you're going to spend on certain categories and how much you're going to save, how much you're going to put towards student loans, whatever's relevant to you, can be a lot simpler than they think.
Mm-hmm.
And then also talking about what happens when we go a little bit over, because it's going to happen sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of addressing that goal setting from a standpoint of you're not a failure if you spend $303 on groceries instead of $300,
right.
And looking at it in a less shameful way and more of as a guide than like a hard set limit.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, when, if we can help people to understand that this is a guide, this is a goal that you're shooting for, this is not the end-all, be-all,
mm-hmm.
and it's okay to fail, right, to miss the mark sometimes, but it doesn't make you a failure, right? And so just because you didn't go to the gym today or you overspent today doesn't mean that you have failed miserably on whatever goal you've set for yourself. And I think that's where people get kind of twisted sometimes is that they go for that, the worst case scenario and that negative messaging that they give to themselves is enough to keep them from getting back on the wagon and moving forward towards that goal. And so, you know, we have this technique called motivational interviewing. Are you familiar with that? What do you know about it? We're getting another call for service. What do you know about motivational interviewing?
It's basically trying to get out the motivation that somebody already has. Not really convincing them of a goal that they don't already have for themselves,
mm-hmm.
but bringing that goal out from underneath.
Right. It's more of a positive way of looking at whatever issue they're bringing up. And
mm-hmm.
typically, you know, we associate motivational interviewing with things like addiction recovery and those sorts of things. But you can apply it to anything. And it's really about tapping into their internal desires and drives and helping them in kind of a solution-focused way to develop step-by-step plan on how do you get there. So you plan for achieving it. But you also talk a little bit about what's going to happen when things, you know, don't go perfectly.
Right. Exactly. Like if you're setting a goal in the addiction field, you might be looking at something like harm reduction, or you might be looking at something like dialectical abstinence, which looks at
looking
like
at what?
Dialectical abstinence.
What the hell is that?
So it's DBT's look at. It's very similar to harm reduction in a lot of ways, but it's somewhere in between harm reduction and full abstinence as the goal. So looking at the dialectical thinking from DBT
mm-hmm.
with the acceptance being I'm going to relapse and the change being I'm going to eventually be abstinent.
Oh, I just never heard that term. Well, I don't do DBT, so
mm-hmm.
is that a standard part of DBT lingo?
Dialectical abstinence.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's fairly well known in DBT circles.
Oh, I'm not a part of the circle. I guess I should learn to be a part of that circle. I don't know. No,
we're
I don't
fun.
Do it. I'll do
join
it.
Join the DBT circle.
No, there's too many things to do today. Nope, not doing it. I'll just refer them to you.
Fair. I'll take them.
Y'all can do the DBT stuff. I'll deal with the other stuff. So, all right. So, helping them to process it oftentimes means that, you know, the therapist's job is to be motivator in that and not motivating them to change, but motivating them in the sense that they have these internal abilities and skills and tools and everything else and helping them to put those on the table and saying, this is really why I want to do it, which gets back to what's the intent of doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So the opposite of motivational in interviewing is I went to my primary care a few years back and just regular checkup. And he asked me, so how many Diet Cokes are you drinking every day? And I was excited. I said, well, I've gone down from 4 to 2. And he says, well, if you can do that, why didn't you just stop? I'm like, you're such an ass. And so I asked him, I said, did you take motivational interviewing as part of your, and I know he did, as part of your training in med school? He said, yes. And I said, well, you just failed miserably. If I could do it, I would. And I get that you're trying to help me, but that's not being very helpful. And so I never went back to him again. Right? So that's the opposite of motivational interviewing, right? Motivating somebody is about helping them to identify what works for them instead of beating them down for what doesn't. So don't do that ever. All right. So, but setting goals isn't just for individuals. Couples can set goals. Organizations can set goals, which we do annually. Families can set goals. And I think if everybody kind of works together and talks about the intent behind those and makes them achievable, realistic, and you develop a plan, a step-by-step action plan for how to achieve them, I think they can be helpful. But I think in most cases, what happens is people just do these highfalutin things, and then they feel like, because they sound good, or because the doctors told them to do it, or whatever, and then they end up beating themselves up because they didn't achieve the goal that they set out to do, mm-hmm. which I think is kind of sad sometimes. So, so what else would you like to say about these things that we're not calling resolutions anymore? We're calling goals.
I think a lot of the time people get very problem-oriented when thinking about New Year's resolutions, especially if they're a little pre-contemplative about what they think they need to change. They'll recognize that something's wrong, but I think sometimes people aren't really sure about where to go from there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think instead of focusing on, well, I can't do this because of X, Y, and Z, trying to focus on a solution for it. So mm-hmm. that kind of goes back to motivational interviewing.
Yep.
And just keeping that in mind when setting goals.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think setting short and long-term goals as well, mm-hmm. because if you're setting these really big goals for yourself, you also need to be thinking about, okay, what do I need to do along the way? So if my goal is I want to open a private practice and, run it in a nice neighborhood closer to my parents, like so I can be near my family, I'm going to set goals that get me there.
Sure.
So I'm going to say, okay, well, I want to get my master's degree, and then I want to be an intern, and I want to be at this level, or I want to work in nonprofit, and so I want to maybe learn how that's run and then open my own, or setting shorter goals that are achievable and that you'll be able to see the results of within mm-hmm. maybe a year or less, and then setting a 5-year goal,
mm-hmm.
things like that can be helpful at kind of like what Brandy said, breaking down the goals.
Right.
So having a big one and then a couple ones leading up to it.
You make a good point there too about like making sure the short-term goals are aligning with your overall like long-term big picture goal.
Right.
Because if you're planning a bunch of short-term goals that you want to accomplish within a year, but then you notice your 5-year plan, there are no steps there
mm-hmm.
to make sure that you achieve that, then are you really working towards the thing that's important to you?
Right.
Which gets back to kind of the intent. Is it important to you that you achieve these things, or is this something that society or family or doctors have said you need to do? Right. It's kind of mm-hmm. like people coming to therapy, bringing their children to therapy, usually the adolescents. They typically are not really looking forward to coming to therapy. They're told. But you can switch that, and even with an adolescent, if you can tap into the fact that, all right, so maybe you don't have to be here. Maybe you don't want to be here, but you got to be here. So how can this be helpful to you?
Mm-hmm.
Forget what your parents are saying about you. I don't care about that.
Right.
How could this be helpful for you? Right. And doing that with these goals that people have as well. Is this yours or is this theirs?
Mm-hmm.
If it's theirs, do you really want it? And if so, how do you make it yours and make it more appropriate for you?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a challenge. But so you're coming up with a new goal for yourself for the mm-hmm. year because you achieved a major goal
mm-hmm.
last year. You finished it totally.
Mm-hmm. Well, I achieved a couple of goals in 2022. One of mine was getting out my first journal article mm-hmm. with me as first author. So that happened. I'm very excited about that.
Yay!
Next, I'm working on a textbook chapter with some of my previous professors.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just submitted our draft one to the publishers yesterday. And so my next goal will be to get that publishing ready because it's a draft.
What's the journal article about?
So the one that I was first author on was, it's called Sex at Every Size, the Weight Inclusive Model. And so Whoa. It's actually kind of relating to some of our New Year's resolution things, looking at the original BMI-based model, and then now looking at journals that are including the weight inclusive model. So there's a couple tenets of that, but the basics being it's okay to be whatever size you are. So basically, tenet one was the right to be fat. So looking at articles that did or didn't include that model, it was a really interesting process to go through.
The BMI.
The BMI.
Developed by old white guys in Europe.
Yes.
Who, for some reason, were able to still tell us to this day what a healthy weight is. I don't understand that.
No sense.
But they all use it. I mean, mm-hmm. it's one of the first things on my after-visit report. Your BMI is blank, which makes you morbidly obese. Like, who wants to read that on a damn... Anyway, that's a whole other story. Anyway, so, any other closing thoughts on resolutions or goals?
I think one problem I run into with setting goals with clients is a lot of the time, particularly when they're like financially disadvantaged,
mm-hmm.
setting goals with them for their finances or somehow having more money when a lot of the time there's not a lot of opportunities can be really hard.
Right.
Especially when you're going from the motivational interviewing model. So I was curious about, not to put either of y'all on the spot, but curious about your thoughts on handling that.
Mm. So typically when I work with families that are struggling financially, oftentimes they're feeling overwhelmed by a number of factors. And so my first goal is to help them kind of figure out what do I have control over and what don't I have control over? And when they're able to kind of see, all right, this is stuff that's out of my purview, oftentimes they're able to kind of let that go. It still affects them, but there's nothing they can do about it. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk a little bit about budgeting. And most of the times they have a budget. And unfortunately, a lot of times the budget is simply paying rent, paying insurance, and then food. They don't mm-hmm. have a lot of extra. So we'll spend some time talking about local resources that are available to them, you know, like the Mooresville, we're in Gainesville, community ministries, which offers free food, and the Vineyard Church across town, which offers free food. And so we try and hook them up with local resources that may alleviate some of the pressure. And I just found out about this one thing. There's a program that I think it's here in Gainesville, maybe in Stark. Anyway, but they bring in truckloads. You order the food, and it's like boxes of food that you can. You end up paying a lot less for meat and for fruits and vegetables, all that stuff. But you get like this huge box and quantity of food for a very low cost. In North Carolina, when we were looking at it, it was called Angel Food Ministry, but it's different down here. So. But I try and help them identify what sources they may have locally that can help them with at least the food aspect. If they're having trouble, you know, kind of catching up with rent, then we identify different programs that are available that may be able to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time they are aware of these programs. The challenge with it is, like if you're going to those places, you know, they'll have their own process. And if you're a working parent, a single parent household, you don't have time to sit through all of that stuff and go right. over here and go over there. So that's a long answer to, I try and help them break it down into what I can do, what I can't do. What are the must-haves right now? And what are the would-love-to-haves, but I don't have the resources to do that. And then if they have kids, you know, how to manage the kids and their own desires for these things as they compare themselves to other kids. How can parents not internalize that guilt and shame of not being able to provide like all the other parents?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do.
Totally, I don't agree know if with right. all of that.
Well, you should. I'm your
resources.
Supervisor.
Resources, budgeting, and figuring out what's truly in their control, what they can actually change. Because so many clients come in with these goals that I can't fix the problem. They can't necessarily fix the problem. So we either need to accept it or figure out what we can actually change.
Right, right. That's when you go into that acceptance and commitment therapy approach.
Yes.
Which, there's a video on that. Well, yeah, you can watch the video.
Exciting.
On acceptance and commitment therapy. So, all right. Any closing comments, thoughts? You two have some groups coming up that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. All right. What are they?
We're going to be doing a trans youth support group and an LGBTQ plus college age support group as well. Those are going to be Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6.
6 p.m. And they can get more information on our website at www.gainesvillecounselingcenter.com or I think it's on the Twitters and it's on the, what else do we have?
Facebook.
Face page and Instagram and the TikTok. But not our Reddit. I think we need
probably
a Reddit.
Probably a solid choice.
Anyway, so, and how long do those groups run?
12 weeks.
12-week groups. Okay. And so if somebody wants to reach out to you directly with questions, how do they reach you, each of you directly, if they have any questions about the groups?
They can find our emails on our page on the website. It would just be our first name at GainesvilleCounselingCenter.com.
Very good. Or they can call you.
Or they can call us. I think our numbers are up there, too.
Yes.
I do not have them.
Me either.
It starts with 352.
448-9120.
Yes.
That'll get them here.
That'll get them here.
Then we can direct them there.
Yeah.
Very good.
Love.
All right. Well, we are thankful that you have joined us for this journey through New Year's resolutions. And I appreciate your input and your feedback. And again, we are the Gainesville Community Counseling Center, 1001 Northeast 16th Avenue in Gainesville, Florida, 32601. I almost forgot our address. 352-448-9120 or www.gainesvillecounselingcenter.com. Peace.